My name's Nilda. I'm a compulsive reader, and my abstinence date is February 14th, 2021. So I'm a little nervous. I'm always nervous when I share. I guess that's good. Somebody told me that's God shaking the truth out of you, so I'm gonna hold on to that. let's see where my story begins. Well, I am from Camden, New Jersey. It's in South Jersey, if any of you know where that is. And I grew up in a very poor household. We were on welfare, and there was not a lot of food. There was five of us, and I did not have any real issues with food growing up, other than I didn't get enough. I didn't have any. I remember my mom used to stand in the welfare line for blocks of cheese and packs of rice and stuff like that. And I just remember that we didn't have a lot of food. So I just learned how to not be greedy, so for lack of a better word. So there was a lot of alcohol and drug addiction in my family, and also in my own life. And I know this is Overeaters Anonymous, so I'm going to respect the singleness of purpose, but it is a part of my story. And it explains why I didn't have very many issues with food in my youth. So I was a victim of abuse very early on. My eldest brother was abusing me and my sister in many ways, and he hung himself when I was 10, and I was very angry, but I was also very conflicted, because I was happy that he was dead and I no longer had to be abused by him anymore. It really messed my head up, having that trauma, experiencing that trauma, and it just was, it was difficult for me. And it all ties into my issue with food. And I just remember that since our house, since we lived in such a really bad neighborhood, we constantly had like mice and roaches and things like that. And I always felt like a victim, and I would go to other people's houses and they didn't have these issues. And they had food in the fridge and they didn't have, rodents and bugs. And I even when we did have food, I couldn't eat it, 'cause I was just like traumatized. I've always felt like I just couldn't, I just had a lot of issues, a lot of issues. And, somewhere along the line, my dad's twin brother moved here from New York, and his kids were heavy and they ate, and I always wanted to be with them, 'cause they had money and food. And also drugs and alcohol. So that was my first experience with it when I was 13. I was given a very, very sweet wine called Menashevitz, and I loved it. And I loved it. And I drank compulsively like that for many, many years. But I didn't know how much I liked sugar until the alcohol was removed from my life. So fast forward, for 19 years, I drank and drugged, and a lot of things happened. And food, again, still not a big issue. I could care less about food at the time. At 32, which was 9 years ago, I got clean and sober in another fellowship, and that's when I realized I had food issues. I mean, it was immediate. I've always weighed about, I'm very, very short. I'm not even 5 feet. I'm like 4'11". And I was about 115, 120 pounds, never anything serious, except for when I was ripping and running. I was, always underweight, but probably because I barely ate or whatever. But when I got clean and sober, I gained 70 pounds in less than a year. It was immediate. I mean, you took away the drugs and the alcohol, and the food just became everything for me. And I was married at the time, and my ex-husband was struggling with getting to know like this new person that I was. And not to be too explicit, but I never was intimate with anyone without being under the influence of drugs and alcohol, especially being a survivor of trauma. And now I have no no drugs and alcohol, and I'm eating and eating, and I don't know what it's like to share my life with this person. And I just remember talking about it with a friend of mine, and she was like, "So are you packing on pounds to like keep him away? Is that like a safety for you?" And a part of me was like, "That makes so much sense. I don't even want to be touched. As long as I have food, I'm good. As long as I have food, I'm good." And you know, being in the other fellowship, nothing against it. I love a. We celebrate everything with food. You know, after meeting, we go to diner. After, we have round the clock marathons, and there's food, and it's just, it was not. I was looking at the steps in another program and thinking, if I just take out the word alcohol and put in food, I can make this work. And I believe that, like, maybe, I don't know how many years I was in that program before I met a woman who invited me to OA. And I remember going to a meeting in Cherry Hill at Jefferson Hospital. And I remember I walked in, and I might have shared this here before, just when we were sharing on whatever reading it was, but I remember looking around the room and thinking, why do they all look so mad? They just look so angry. And I don't know if I belong here. And I felt very apart from. I just didn't feel like I belonged. And I don't know what that was about, because I've since revisited that place after I got abstinent, and they didn't look the same. So it clearly was me. It's my perception. You know, I didn't want to fit in with you guys. I didn't. And I did the steps in a way, but it I don't know that I really had conceded to my innermost self that I was one of you. You know, despite everything that I was doing behind closed doors, I was taking laxatives every day to try to eat whatever I want and get rid of it. I remember doing my fifth step at the Prince of Peace in Marlton with my sponsor, and I had on a girdle that was pulled so tight I could barely breathe. And she was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Oh, I got this thing on. It's called, the squeam. It's supposed to make my waist really skinny." And I pulled up and showed it to her, and she was like, "The lengths that you will go to for your vanity." And I felt offended. I felt offended. I was like, I have this, gut, and it's driving me insane. And she was like, "Why don't you just use the tools of the program instead of the girdle?" And I was like, I just, it, to me, it just, it, I wasn't willing. I wasn't ready. I really wasn't ready. And so I stopped going. She was, telling me things that I really needed to hear, but, I was angry. I'm just be honest. I was angry with God. I was like, so I can't drink. I can't drug. And by that point, I didn't want to. So I'm not going to say I can't. I couldn't, because I didn't want to. And the obsession for those things were gone. And I was like, and now I have to have yet another problem. And I was very, very angry, at God for it. And I don't know why. Because I felt like I was thriving in the other program. I was sponsoring women. I had commitments. I was doing everything, but I could not stop obsessing about food. And things started happening. I was dishonest with my kids. I would go places and buy, how am I working the steps in another program supposed to be living the principles of honesty? And I'm lying about where I'm at because I don't want to share my food with them. Like, I have what I have for them, but I don't want to share the rest of it. So I'm going to park before I get to the house and eat it, and then get there with what's there, so they won't dare to ask me about, this other thing that I got for me. And there were times where I literally pulled in somewhere to get something to eat, and I don't remember, like, actually how I got into the store. And that was starting to scare me. I was like, this is dangerous. This is the, how is it that I am not putting substances in my body? Because it didn't dawn on me that sugar and flour and all the things that I can't eat, I don't know about anybody else, that I can't eat, that I should stay away from, were clouding my judgment. And I was just acting irrationally, and couldn't see it. And eventually my marriage, we divorced, and we didn't survive it, but we were very We get along really well. We co-parent with my son really well. And I decided with all of the pain that I was going through, with food to come back to OA. And I remember one night I was in my room and I was like, God, if this is all that sobriety has for me, then I don't know. I might oh wow, that is getting me emotional. You know, what's is this it? Like, I'm gonna be clean and sober and eat myself to death. And I'm not happy and I don't feel whole. And I just asked, like I did before, you know, help me. And the next day, my friend called me. I had met her in the Cherry Hill meeting. She's from Philly. And she said, Nilda, I'm starting this Zoom meeting. It was COVID. You know, COVID had started the pandemic. And she said, I'm starting a Zoom meeting and it's for double winners, you know, alcoholic and overeaters. And I would love for you to come. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Because he's done this in my life before. I'll pray on my knees, I mean, wholeheartedly in tears and ask for help. And then he'll send the help. And sometimes I don't recognize it. So this time I said, let me just, I'm going to see what this is going to, what this is, if this will help. So I went and I loved it immediately. And I asked her to sponsor me. And she said, all right, well, what's your food plan? What are the things that you can't live without? And, you know, I made this list of the foods that I know set me off. And I had made a list before, but I was never honest about what really I wanted to get away with a lot of things. But I know deep down inside, I know which foods trigger me. And I just couldn't, you know, I had to surrender. And she said, all right, are you willing to commit your food every day? And I remember those were that was one of the things I did not want to do. I was like, no, you know, originally, I'm like, no, I'm not sending in somebody my, you know, I'm defiant to a T. I'm like, I'm not sending you anything. 'Cause then what if I send you something and you pick it apart and then you judge me and, you know, all this shame and all this guilt. And, this time I was just against, you know, my own will. I was like, I will send it. I will send you my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No, nothing in between. I will weigh my food and I will just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And, I remember feeling that I didn't even care about whether or not I lost weight or not. I just didn't want to be in pain anymore. And I knew that was real because the last times that I came in and out of OA, all I cared about was losing weight. And I started reading like the OA daily, you know, food for thought and doing a workbook. And I really, you know, committed myself to this thing. And it was starting to work. And I even stopped jumping on the scale. I couldn't deal with that anymore. But I think what really messed me up was when people start complimenting you. Oh, you look great, or you this, or you that. And I don't know what it does to me. The minute someone starts complimenting me about my weight, I feel like I'm allowed to eat. And but I share these things with her, and you know, I spoke with her openly and honestly. And I went to her house and you know, we started reading the big book, and replacing the word alcohol with food. I had not done that before. And the book just, it came alive. It was like, it's like when I read the Bible, it just came alive. And I went to do my fifth step with her. And I went to her apartment and I remember that things were coming out. I have done my steps. I've been in AA for 9 years. I've done my steps several times, just to ensure that I didn't leave anything out. But this time something happened. It was so different. I don't even know how to put my finger on it. Things were coming out that I can't even explain to you. If I tried, it would make me sound crazy. But I felt free. I felt free for the first time. And I didn't want to eat, which is mind blowing to me because I don't know. I just always felt so deprived all my life, deprived. And so, I have a coworker. She was noticing what was happening with me. And, she was like, you know, Nilda, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to OA. You want to come? And she was like, sure. And she started coming to program and working with a sponsor. And I just remember her thinking like, saying to me that she thought like there are no coincidences in this world. It was just we were strategically placed in each other's lives. And now, because I just felt like very picked on at work, that for a lack of a better word, here I am being the victim again. But it was just like, oh, don't offer Nilda that. She doesn't eat that. Oh, you know, and it was in the beginning, I was just so resentful because, you know, it'd be like, well, we have this in the break room. Do you want some? And I'm like, no, I don't eat that. And it would be like a constant, like, why not? And just a bite. And, you know, and I would get frustrated. And today I'm not like that. I understand that sometimes people don't understand what we go through. So I'm just very kind in my deliverance, and if I have to repeat the no a few times, I try not to get frustrated people, because it's different. It's not common. It's not common in the circles that I'm in to abstain from certain foods. And you know, it's easier with drugs and alcohol, I think, because people are like, well, yeah, if you're drunk, we don't want you to drink, you know. But when it comes to food, it's like I think I make people uncomfortable sometimes. You know, and things have continued to happen. I remember one last summer I was going to a barbecue of an old
Five
friend.
more minutes left.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. I was going to a barbecue, and I remember thinking like it's gonna be the trifecta. They drink, they smoke, they do drugs or whatever, and there's gonna be so much food. And I was like, I gotta put my armor on, you know. And I did the things that I was taught. I called my sponsor, I told her where I was going, I had a plan, I drove myself there. I mean, I did every, you know, back to the basics. I was like, I gotta be careful because I can't lose my abstinence. And I remember going there and thinking, you know, what can I bring to this party? Not what can I take from it? How can I be? I don't need to be standing in a corner all angry because I don't get to participate. And, you know, I need to, in the things that they're participating in. And, you know, I have to turn down food that I know are going to look good. And by this point, I was in a place of neutrality. And I didn't want to eat, and I was on good spiritual ground. And so I went. And I tell you that story only because my friend's niece, I'm not sure why I'm so emotional. She's quite obese, very, very obese. And she came up and started talking to me, and I don't even know how we started talking about, you know, food, probably because there was food everywhere. And she was like, oh, you know, we got into a real good conversation, and I told her what we were doing, and I was, you know, what I was doing. And I told her where I got help, and that I would be if I could send her a big book, and then we could talk. And I just remember thinking, like, if I had not gone to that party, you know, I would not have been able to have that moment with her. And I can be useful to other people. It's so big, it's so much bigger than me. It really is. I know what was wrong the first time. I want it to look good. And this time I just want to grow closer to God. And I did not know that he would allow me to fall so far with food to bring me closer to him. And it's just amazing, you know. It's amazing where I am today. So in terms of my sobriety, because I know I'm reaching the end of my share, in terms of my abstinence, I still commit my food every morning. What I'm going to eat, for me, I eat 3 times a day, nothing in between. I weigh food when necessary. For the most part, you know, I've been doing it long enough that I kind of know how much I can eat. But when there's things that are questionable, I definitely weigh them. I talk with my sponsor. I sponsor a woman in New Zealand. In a way, I try to be of service whenever I can, and when like thoughts that don't make sense come into my head, I talk about them. I remember having to change my plan about 6 months ago because I was eating something that was bothering me and it was staying on my mind, and I didn't even want to let it go. And I was like, you know what? This is the cunning and baffling part of it. Like, it'll trick me to believe that a yellow food can be a green food when it should be a red food. And I'm just grateful for the insight, you know. And there are people on here now that I wish I could be I'm just gonna say I wish I could be closer to. But I find myself blocking myself, from people. I don't know. I enjoy when Martine shares, when Sarah G shares, when Carol shares, not to name, anybody, but I feel like they're in service so much, and sometimes in the back of my head, I'm like, why don't you get in service more? Why do you keep yourself apart from people? And so I'm saying it out loud because I need to do better about that. This particular meeting has been a lifesaver for me, whether y'all know it or not. And I'm just grateful to be here. And I'm going to stop because I'm going to keep crying.